song. Father, we just thank you for your goodness this morning. God, we thank you that you are here. God, you've presenced yourself with your love and your goodness. Just open our hearts to receive what you want to say to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, everybody. Well, Dan Russell coming, he's one of my favorite preachers. He's awesome. And get your kids here because I'll learn something from him. What I like about Dan, he's a real awesome, he's a natural guy. He loves his surfing, he loves his fishing, he loves his diving, and he's just a real guy, real person to be around. So get your kids there. You know, this morning I woke up. Do you know God's in everything we do? And even little Cole this morning, Jesse said to Cole, "What would you say, Cole?" And he says, "Say thank you." And you know, my sermon's on gratefulness, thankfulness, gratefulness. You know, God can talk through little four-year-old little boys. And we need to be open to it. We need to listen to it. Sometimes we need to listen to our children, believe it or not. But you know, I woke up this morning and I was sort of a bit annoyed that Dom was going away because it was the last minute and I had all these things to do and he had lots of things to do. And we're all busy, and I can see quite a few people are away today because they've got things on. But I was a little bit annoyed at him for going away. And, you know, when I looked up there, well, he's been texting me and different things. You know, God's doing something in Vietnam, something very powerful. And sometimes we've got to not be so selfish, even though I've got to do what he's got to do and what I've got to do and everything else. But God gives you grace to do it. But I'm just thankful that there's young people getting saved over there. You know, once upon a time we used to smuggle Bibles into Vietnam and we couldn't be open with our faith. Now, through the Communist Party, we're welcome in there because their children are getting saved and they're seeing something radically different happening. And those leaders are asking us to come. And you know, God gave us a picture of, it was really funny, we were praying before we went and God showed me a picture of three fuses being lit and going out from these three areas. And I have now found out that they're going to three cities, Ho Chi Minh, Hanoi, and Da Nang, the three fuses. And they go, and I saw this explosion in the central highlands of Vietnam. And that is where there's a real communist stronghold. And I saw this huge explosion that actually reverberated right through Vietnam. You know, God is starting something and we're all part of it and I think it's so exciting. But I woke up this morning and I was singing this song. I thought it was really strange because I get up and put worship on. But I started singing this song, "There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb." You know, the blood of the Lamb. You know, when I first got saved, Don's father, he was a bit of a wild man in Whangarei. And they called him Hallelujah McDonnell. And he was well known. Jesse knows because he's from Whangarei. And he taught me one thing. He said, "No matter where you go, Julia," and we have been in some places where I have felt demons walking along behind me. I've been in New Orleans in the French Quarter where they actually have the Walking Dead. It's very freaky if you've been there. And I've been in Fiji on Banga Island where there's been the Walking Dead. And I have learnt that there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you call on the name of Jesus and call on the blood of Jesus, things change. And I was thinking, I'm doing communion, okay, but this is leading into it. I was thinking about all the years that the Jewish people sacrificed lambs to confess their sins and to change something over their nation, and it never worked. And then God sent the Prince of Heaven. I don't know about you, but that sort of fills me up, that God would send his son. So there would be a blood sacrifice that would cover everything for thousands and thousands of years. And you know, that blood dries up, but the blood of Jesus is as wet today and as powerful today. I don't know, I've been in some places sometimes where I have actually visualized, I said, God, I can't do this, and visualized standing under the cross and feeling that blood come down over me. Oh, the power of Jesus, it washes white as snow. You know, in 1 Corinthians 10:16, it says, the cup of blessing which we bless is not in the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is not in the communion of the bloody body of Christ. For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. You know, more than anything, God wants us in unity. He wants us in one mind. He wants to pour out his blessing on us. In Acts 2:42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship, you know, coming together. Jesus, so many people think, I'll have church at home. But the word says that we are to fellowship in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. And in Acts, if you read on, it says the church grew. The church grew because of this. And this morning, because of this, I was thinking, we all sit in our separate seats, and typical North Shore people, we always have a gap of one or two seats between us because we like our space. But you know, as family, we rub shoulders together. And you know, when you do that, like the working bee yesterday, we had so much fun. And it's rubbing shoulders together, and we get a bit of the dirt off each other. We get a bit of the blood, we get a bit of the grime when we rub shoulders together. And so I want us to come out this morning and take communion together. Get your juice and your bread, and I want you to come forward and stay here. And maybe you're thinking, well, I'm new to this church, I don't know anybody. Come and be family, because the person standing next to you probably doesn't know that you haven't been here before, or nobody can judge you on where you are with your walk with God. Because you see, it's not in what you do, it's what's in your heart. So I encourage you this morning to come forward, and as we take these emblems, we pray together, because we are the church, and as we come together in our belief, the power, the wonder-working power of the blood of the Lamb. You see, if you remember back to what you were like before Jesus came into your life, it wasn't a pretty thing. And we were all the same. But Jesus changes us all, and he loves us all, and he accepts us all just the way we are and where we are today. Whether we're struggling or we're walking in victory, Jesus loves you. So as they just play here, as Marcus plays, I just encourage you, come and we'll pray together as family this morning, as we come before Christmas, when the Prince of Heaven came, because he believed in you, because when he came, he knew he was going to die for you, that his blood was going to pour out for you, not the whole church, for you because he loved you so much. He believed in you so much. And there's so much potential within you. So if you come now and stay here, push forward, get close to me as possible, then I don't feel vulnerable. I just want to thank those people that came yesterday and gave up their Saturday to do something for somebody else. Whether it was the awesome people that cleaned the children's church, and that was quite a job, organizing that. The people that mowed the lawns, cleaned the garden, and sorted the gardens, cleaned windows. The people who cleaned the kitchens, I tell you, if you go into that kitchen, you can see your face in the urn. So polished. To the people that wrapped gifts with love. So awesome. And an awesome team that came this morning to make breakfast for new people. To the worship team this morning that's done so well and brought the presence of God. You know, we can be so thankful. I am so thankful for your lives. I'm so thankful for each one of you. Shh, John, shh, I'm talking. It's my turn. God is so good. Has everybody got their emblems? So good to have Pam and Owen back. We missed you so much. When family's away, it just doesn't feel the same. You know what? Sound guys, tech guys, come up too. Come and take. We don't need people down the back. We're family. We don't need perfection. Come on. Don't go back. Oh, you got friends back there. It's okay. That's great. Whatever you go through in these holidays, remember the power of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus. Whatever situation you're in, he's with you. Wherever you go, he's with you because he loves you. He believes in you. He's for you. If you get it wrong, we all get it wrong at times. If you're feeling vulnerable and alone, I feel a bit vulnerable and alone up here. He's with you. Always, he never leaves you. The enemy would like to lie to you and say sometimes you're alone. It's a lie. You call on his name and he'll be with you. It says here in Matthew, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it. God, we bless this bread that has been broken your life and gave it to this disciples, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. You know, healing, there's wonderful healing in that. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them and he says, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant that is shed. It's shed for the sins that we can be forgiven. Everything. Don't ever think what I've done's too great. He says, no, my blood covers all. If you're hurting and broken, my blood can wash away everything. As we eat, Lord, I just pray as we eat these emblems together, God, that we would feel your love, your companionship, your goodness in our lives. That we would have victory if we have pain in our lives, if we have pain in our bodies, we have sickness. If we have a need, God, right now, we give it to you. And we say thank you, God, for giving us the best. God, you gave us the best. maybe eat and drink, church. Don't rush away. Just take a minute. Sometimes we don't take a time to breathe. God, we thank you. We just breathe in. We thank you. Just as we're in that moment, if there's anybody who needs prayer, maybe you're struggling in some way. You don't have to tell people what it is. But if you just, maybe you're sick, maybe there's an issue, maybe you're in need of something in your life at this time. Maybe just raise your hand wherever you are. While we're in this moment of prayer, people aren't looking around. But if you have that need in your life now, just lift your hand. Those people that are around, just open your eyes. Those people that are around them, just put your hand. We're family. We're believing the best for you. Just lay hands on them. We're your family. We're here for you today. Just lay hands. Please lay hands on those people with their hands raised. God, you see the need on these lives. Holy Spirit, just come in your power right now and touch these lives. If they need healing, healing right now, touch them. If they have a need, God, you're well able to provide. We thank you, God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes alongside as a comforter to heal the broken and the hurting. We thank you, Jesus. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus that washes white as snow, that heals, restores. We thank you, God, for your love. Over this group of people, I just pray the love of Jesus Christ that accepts and welcomes and embraces you. If you feel lost today, that you would feel the arms of the Holy Spirit come round you, saying, you are welcome, you are loved, you are valued, and you are cherished. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you just want to stay there for a minute more, you're welcome. If you want to go back to your seat. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, church. You're awesome. I feel very humbled to be your pastor. Great to see you, Don Salthouse. Back from Fiji doing mission work. Thank you for men with generous hearts. Yes, you do. Please come to the prayer meeting tonight because we just want to pray for Vietnam. We want to pray for our church. We want to pray for our youth for their conference. There's so many things that we can pray for. You know, I woke up yesterday and I looked, I don't know if you look at your daily reading, but it was about having gifts, many gifts, and bringing them together as a body. And I thought how wonderful it was that yesterday we came together and we used the many gifts that we had to do what we had to do. And God is always on time, isn't he? He's so good. And you know, this morning, little Cole, you know, with his thankfulness. And I actually got part of the sermon today from a lady who rang me up and thanked me. And I'll go into that later. But, you know, things that you do today, this is 20 years later, and she rang me up and she thanked me. And I thought, Well, I had to do something difficult at the time, 20 years ago. But, you know, God is so good and he's so faithful. And what we do today can affect the generations and the lives of the future. So don't ever get frustrated, because God is always doing something. We don't see it. And sometimes we need to ask him to open our spiritual eyes, because we're so caught up in the natural and the now. And I think what a privilege to sow into people's lives. Never get tired of giving. Never get tired of being generous. Because who knows what it is in God's eternal plan. And yes, it's so awesome. If you want to open your Bibles, I love my Bible. And this is Jesus, Light of the World, which is our theme for this month. And you know, I keep thinking, we think about Jesus, Light of the World, but he's in each one of us. And he wants to light up something within us. And quite often it's with a smile or something within you that he wants to light up the world today. And in John 8:12 it says, Jesus spoke, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light of life is within you. And whether you accept it or not, he's within you. And he wants to shine it. And 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, you are the sons of light now. You accepting Jesus as, you are now a son and daughter. And it says, you are the sons of light and of the day. We are not of the night and darkness anymore. Stop trying to hide because you don't think you're good enough. In Ephesians 5:8, it says, for you were once in darkness, yes, but now you are of the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. That means you're beautiful. And if you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you think you're ugly, you're actually going against God, because he says you are beautiful, you are children of the light. You know, I look at these movie stars some of them are the most beautiful in the world, and they have all the stuff done to their bodies and whatever to be more beautiful. And you know, they put on their, you know, this woman is the most beautiful woman in the world. But you know what? You look at them and they can't even hold their marriage together. This man is married to the most beautiful woman in the world, but she's still not good enough. And they go off with somebody else. You see, it's something then inside you that makes you beautiful. It's your words and your deeds that make you beautiful. So stop looking in the mirror and trying to measure up to what the world says and measure up to what God says about you. Amen? In Ephesians 5:9, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. You see, beauty comes from the fruit of your life. In the Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That means that you put up with stuff sometimes. Well, we used to get her to recite these when she was little, and she used to leave out the words she didn't like long-suffering and self-control. She always left that self-control out. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, all these attributes are selfless. It's not about me. It's about other people. And so often we want to live our life for ourselves, don't we? And that's when we get a little bit stroppy and stamp our feet, because we don't have things the way we like them. And I must admit, I am like that sometimes. We all are. And those who are Christ have crucified this flesh and its passions and its desires. I think we'll be crucifying those things till the day we die. None of us get it right. So if you're feeling condemned and you've done something wrong or had a bad attitude, you know, we're dealing with these attitudes till the day we die. In John 5:2 it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You know, we don't like God's pruning. And we actually, when he's pruning us, think in our heads, he doesn't like us. He does not love us. But, oh, he loves us. And how he wants to make us look beautiful. It goes on to say in John 5:4, abide in me. You see, the more we abide means, now I looked this up, they've got some words here that we probably don't like. It says, submit to, agree to, this is abide, conform to the way Christ is. Observe, fulfill, hold to, keep to, stand by. So abide in me and I in you. See, he really wants to become more and more. He wants to become more and more in us so we become more and more like Jesus. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So stop struggling and trying to do it by yourself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me. You know, I want to bear fruit. We all want to bear fruit. I want to look good. I do. I want to look great. I want to look fabulous. But you know, what I find, it's not what I put on my body and it's not the makeup I put on my face, although it does make me look a bit better. It fills all those gaps. But, you know, it's how I carry myself and it's how the smile I put on my face that people like. So often we're trying to do all the other things. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says love bears all things, believes all things. This is good for you, Mel and Wayne. Love bears all things. Believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. It perseveres. And you know what? Love is strong. So strong. If you remember to love, you can get through all those things that are bugging you about that person. And I tell you, we do annoy each other quite a bit. Be honest. I've been married 44 years, my gosh, to the same man. I annoy him and he annoys me. Because the longer you're married, the more you want perfection. Because you've got used to each other and it doesn't work. Okay, we get a more OCD. But you know what? Love never fails. And I was thinking about gratitude. Gratitude. And saying thank you. And the more gratitude we have and the more thanks we give, the nicer we become. And the more joyful we become. Because we're not looking at the cup half empty. You see, I could sit here and I could write a list of Don's faults and he could write a list of mine. And they would probably be many. But if I flip it over, I have so much to be thankful for. Look, we just need to be thankful for living in this nation. We're sitting here in freedom and liberty are people that have fought for it. Be thankful for those people. Be thankful for the homes we have. We don't need the poshest home. We don't need the newest lounge suite. We don't need the brand new car. Be thankful that you have a car and you didn't have to get on a bike and ride here from Stanmore Bay now. Yeah. Be thankful. You see, we always see something shiny, and I live at Greenhithe, and there's people that drive around in Maseratis, would you believe? But would they get here any sooner than me? No. They would probably get a speeding ticket. But we need to look at the things that and be thankful for what we have. We have a job. We have family. We have so much. In the midst of trouble, when you don't think God has blessed you, sit down and recall His faithfulness, and you'll end up being filled with joy. You know, thinking about when you first got saved and what you were like then to what you're like now. All those things, if you started writing them down, how God has changed things around. Rob, how God brought a wife from overseas for you. He sent the Holy Spirit all the way over there and got Ime and brought her to New Zealand. When she annoys you, you've got to remember, thank you, God, for bringing her here, because she's a gift from God. We need to change the way we think and be thankful. God has done so much. You know, I'm going to tell you this story. I had a lady ring me this week. But 20 years ago, we were having Christmas together, our families, and we were giving out the presents and that. And her husband got up and he gave her this beautiful box. It was beautiful. And he handed it to her, and it was a piece of lingerie, okay? Because I've got to tell the truth. It was a piece of lingerie, and she opened it, and she did not like it. And her face screwed up, and everybody could see she did not like it. And afterwards, I thought, how am I going to address this with her? Because she's my friend, and, you know, they say the growliness of a friend is better than a kiss from the enemy. So, you know, I got her aside, and I said, did you realize he had spent this money? Well, she was going on, it's ugly, Julia, it's just ugly. And I said to her, do you realize, and I have to remember sometimes Don's bought me stuff I didn't like either, it just reminded me. But anyway, I said to her, did you realize he'd spent all this money on this Victoria's Secret lingerie for you? And she says, no. I said, did you see it come out of your bank account? And she says, no. And I says, so actually he has saved up for this out of his money that he snuck away, and he's bought you this beautiful gift, which in his mind is absolutely beautiful. And she said, yes. And I said, did you realize today when we sat in that room, everybody was joyful and opening presents? And you looked ugly. You looked absolutely ugly, like a spoilt brat. Now, you can only say that to a friend. Don't go and say it to a stranger. But I said, do you know, I felt ashamed of you as my friend because you looked so ugly in your attitude. And I said, do you realize if you put that lingerie on and lift up your head and smile, he will think you're the most magnificent, amazing person in this world. If you put it on and be proud and say thank you to him, you will look magnificent in that ugly lingerie. I actually did think it was ugly too, but I thought I'd better not say it. And I said, be thankful. It's not a dress. You don't have to wear it out. He's the only one that's going to see it. Do you know what? She took my advice. She wore that lingerie. He thought she was the most stunning thing on this earth. Now, she rang me up this week, and she said to me, Julia, thank you. She says, from that moment, something changed in my marriage. I was thankful. I made myself thankful. And when I put it on, I made him feel like he was the most stunning man on this planet. Today she has an incredible marriage. She says, my marriage could have possibly not been a marriage if I hadn't changed my attitude that day. In fact, she said, we were struggling and we might not have been married today. Today she has grandchildren and they're going to have a big family Christmas this year, all of them together. See, it could have been a totally different picture today if she hadn't learnt gratefulness and thankfulness. And she said to me, thank God, Julia, his taste has improved. And she said, he has bought me some incredible gifts and I am so thankful for the man that I am married to today. Thankfulness and your attitude can change something that is generational. Their family are together. And she says, one thing that I talked to my daughters about when they got married was thankfulness. And to be thankful for what they have. And that you can change a man through love and gratefulness. And I just want to encourage you as you come into Christmas this year, that you mightn't get what you have been dreaming about, but you will get a present. And please be grateful to that person for taking the time to go and buy it for you. Be thankful that they bought it out of their resource and what they had. Because she thanked me for my friendship because it was a hard thing for me, because I was thinking, how am I going to say this? Because I could see her tearing her marriage apart through her attitude. But we can tear friendships apart. We can tear fellowship apart, even in the church, because the person doesn't do things the way we like it. Sometimes our children do not do things the way we like it. Maybe they're not walking with God today the way we like it, and they're living their life. Please love them. Be thankful for them. Like I say to many people when they complain about their children costing them money, I would love to have my son alive and me spending all my money on him. Because children cost you money. And he was a pain sometimes. But you know what? It's better to have them in your life than not there. Maybe your friend isn't as faithful to you as you are to them. Keep being their faithful friend. They will learn off you. Maybe your friend's not perfect, but they will learn off you the more you love them. See, we're coming into Christmas, and the more that we can be loving and generous and kind, you know, we always have room at the table. I remind you that because there are people that are going to come across your path in the next few weeks that have nobody. Make room at your table. Learn to be thankful, because bitterness brings misery. Yeah. And it's usually to yourself. And then nobody wants to be around you. Learn the gift of thankfulness, because it brings joy and people love to be around you. When you're joyful, when you're kind. And maybe you struggle with it. Well, the word says that joy is renewed every morning. Let him teach you how to be joyful. Let him teach you how to be loving. This is how I learned it. I'll just read you a couple of verses, because you know what? Joy brings life. Joy brings life. You know, one thing I've learned from Jesse is to laugh. Jesse can laugh at a lot of things, I've found. And he's got to go to his sons. But you know, I love the Word of God. Do you know it's a living, breathing thing? That you might read something that you've read before and it'll bring life to you today. Amen? So if you're struggling, renew it every morning. Be joyful this Christmas. Be thankful. Be the light of the world, because that's what he believes about you. In Psalm 95, it says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord." You know, if you're struggling, get up and sing. Even if you sound like a crow crawling, get up and sing. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. You know what? Sometimes when the enemy comes in like a rush, stand up, because it's a good position, and shout up some good things. Shout out some good things to God. Or if you don't know what to shout out, pick up the Bible and say, "For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." He's living. In Psalm 100, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves." Sometimes the Bible goes backwards. "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." Be thankful. He writes all these words. Don't you see them? Thanksgiving, joyful, thankful to him, and bless his name. "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting." Means he's not going to give up on you. He believes into eternity for you. "And his truth endures to all generations." How you live today affects your children, your grandchildren, your great grandchildren. What you confess out of your mouth about your husband, your wife, your children is what you're going to get. Be thankful for them. Be thankful to have children. Be thankful to have a partner. Be thankful for your life, because God is good and he wants to shine his light through you. Oh, I forgot to ask for the music. Maybe we won't have them. We'll just let them stay there. God, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. I thank you that you sent Jesus, the Prince of Heaven, at Christmas, that we can celebrate, we can be thankful, we can be joyful, we can give a gift to somebody to express our love. Let it be pretty. God, I just pray over these people, give them great taste. But whatever they buy, let it be given in love and kindness. Let our hands be hands that will reach out and touch in gentleness and love. God, let us celebrate together this Christmas as community, as a family, as a church, that we would shine your light, especially on Carol's night when so many unchurched people come in, that we would love on them and show your love. Let us be an example to others in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go and have coffee and celebrate that it's good to be alive. Amen.